Good afternoon, you're listening to Eye on the Valley with your host, Surjeet Atwal, right here on CIVL 101.7 FM, broadcasting to the Fraser Valley, broadcasting from the University of the Fraser Valley's Abbotsford campus on the traditional and unceded territory of the Stolo people. I have a very special episode for you today, an interview with Ron Dart, political science professor at the University of the Fraser Valley, about the conflict between Russia and the Ukraine and how that will impact us right here in the Fraser Valley. Thank you for joining us. I got with me Professor Ron Dart, Professor of Political Science from the University of the Fraser Valley. Thank you, sir, for joining us.
Good to be with you, Surjeet.
I wanted to talk about the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. And I also wanted to touch base on how that conflict can affect us right here on the Fraser Valley, because as you know, we have a large population of Mennonites that have backgrounds from Russia and the Ukraine.
Yes, absolutely. The tragic experience of many Mennonites in Ukraine and Russia and elsewhere, and the diaspora, many of them, probably one of the most concentrated percentage of Russian-Ukrainian Mennonites are in fact in the Fraser Valley and all of Canada.
Could you kind of give an overview about the conflict and why Putin, you think, thought that he should take Ukraine the way he's taking it?
Well, there's probably two ways to answer that, Surjeet. Is the bigger sort of epic vision is Putin has an ideal, a romantic ideal of Greater Russia, when it played a significant role in Europe and elsewhere, and figures such as Peter the Great and the USSR and the Cold War. And so there's this grand vision, highly romanticized, of course, that he feels Russia, it has dimmed what it's meant to be. The Russian and Slavic people are no more who they're meant to be. The West has brutalized them. They're victimized by this aggressive Western culture. And then with the end of the Cold War, particularly the late 80s, early 90s under Gorbachev, Glasnost, Perestroika, that greatness has faltered. It has stumbled. And Putin sees himself as the Messiah, recovering that greatness of Peter, USSR, and the Cold War. So that's one side. That's the big picture of what's animating, dominating, driving him. And there are certain, as I've mentioned before in these reflections, there are certain key philosophers in Russia, such as Dugin, and there are others who have this notion of the greater Russia. The second thing would be, is that Putin, over the last few years, has been involved in a series of very aggressive military actions, whether in Chechnya and Grozny, Crimea, Syria, Georgia, in which there's been virtually no interference by the West, other than moral grandstanding. But moral grandstanding, once it's over, does nothing to halt the aggressive invasion. And so I assume Putin just thought this would be another moral grandstanding by the West, and Ukraine would topple just like these other places did also. So I think there's a combination at work of attempting to reclaim the great vision. No interference in terms of a series of incursions. Mm-hmm. And he just expected, I think, Ukraine would go down like what he did in Crimea, Georgia, Chechnya, Syria, these places.
Now, if I can bring you to the Fraser Valley, can you kind of give a short overview about how both of these cultures have immigrated to the Fraser Valley?
Yes, we have. We actually have two large Russian groups, not, well, in the Fraser Valley, but also in British Columbia itself. One, obviously, that we're the most acquainted with is the tragic reality. Many Mennonites were offered in Russia under Catherine the Great land, given elements of their nonviolent peace tradition, the chance to come into a country in which they would not have to serve in the military. And in fact, they did extremely well. Many of them did. And there's a variety of revisionist history here in terms of how they treated at times their workers or serfs or the kulaks, and some would argue that in fact they were mistreated merely because of their religious commitments as Mennonites. Some would also argue because of they were seen as the bourgeois or significant elements of the bourgeois who mistreated the proletariat workers. So there's different stories in terms of why the Mennonites in Russia fled, but there's no doubt that they were terribly treated, some obviously to Siberia, but many managed to get out of. Actually, our own mayor in Abbotsford comes from the Ukrainian background. And anyone who goes to the Mennonite Museum on Clearbrook will certainly get a graphic and raw and honest, as much as they could, telling of how the Mennonites from Ukraine and Russia, for those who did get out, tried to build a new life in the Fraser Valley, Yarrow being a key element, also the prairies, but certainly the Fraser Valley. And then this whole transition to Clearbrook and this whole wave of Mennonites. And as I mentioned earlier, the Mennonites in the Chilliwack, Abbotsford, Yarrow, Clearbrook area is probably one of the largest concentrations in Canada of Russian Mennonites. So they would have a great deal of, they understand in their marrow and in their soul what it means to be rejected, to be attacked by a very aggressive form of ideological Russian thought. Now, the tricky one here, of course, the difference between what happened to them and the Soviet tradition was anti-religious. Now, Putin is very pro-religious, and so this makes for a fascinating story in Russia, because he has very much co-opted the Russian Orthodox Church. Mm-hmm. And so, unlike the Marxist tradition, which saw religion as the opiate of the people, mm-hmm. Putin, in fact, sees religion as the means of reestablishing, particularly the Russian Orthodox Church, of reestablishing the great Russian world. And so it's a very different situation that the Mennonites faced in some ways, because this is a post-Marxist nationalism, and they faced a Marxist class war. Mm-hmm. So the reality is they had to flee, and I think there are many, many books coming that have come out in Abbotsford, Chilliwack, Yarrow, Clearbrook in terms of the Mennonite Russian experience. And so I think if you were to interview most Mennonites 1 to 2 generations back, there's literally a library of tales in the Fraser Valley of Russian Mennonites. The other, which is not so dominant in the Fraser Valley, but it is in BC, it would be the Doukhobors, which have played a very significant role in interior British Columbia. And in fact, Lev Tolstoy, one of the great writers, Russian writers of the 19th century, his great novel, Resurrection, all the royalties were given to sending the Doukhobors, who were pacifists like the Mennonites, or wings of the Mennonites, out of Russia because of their terrible treatment by the Russian government. But certainly with this Russian Ukraine, the Mennonites in the Fraser Valley, they're a library, an encyclopedia of information on what it means to live in an oppressive and aggressive regime.
Could you explain to our listeners a bit about how the Fraser Valley changed when immigrants from Russia and Ukraine made it here the first time?
Well, I think probably one of the most significant issues of why the Fraser Valley is right-wing politically is, if your understanding of the state is something that oppresses you, then you're not likely to have a very favorable view of the state. So many Mennonites who've come from a very painful experience, a tragic experience of the oppressive nature of the state, they brought with them to Canada and to the Fraser Valley not only a memory and a history of what the state can do, but they're also an entrepreneurial tradition as well. So these two experiences, the entrepreneurial tendency, which you also find in the Dutch Reformed, I might add, but their experience of Russia was not obviously the same as the Mennonites or the Sikh, who obviously their experience is not the same as Russia, but the Mennonites have. So you have two things which have shaped the Fraser Valley via the Mennonites. One is a great suspicion of the state and its potentially oppressive nature, and two, a very entrepreneurial tradition, which is again suspicious of the state. And liberty, the language of liberty, is very, very important in this tradition, which is understandable if there's a notion of the state and order that oppresses not only religious but entrepreneurial liberty. So your religion and your politics will converge to swing to the right. And so to understand the central Upper Fraser Valley, given the Mennonite element, it's quite understandable given their experience in Russia and given their entrepreneurial heritage. Both lead to a suspicion of the state, liberty, lighter state, lighter taxes, more power, grassroots up to the community itself, and a serious suspicion of what the state will do to your religious freedom, your economic freedom, and potentially your political freedom.
I know a lot of Sikhs in the last week that have been watching this coverage from Russia and the Ukraine, and that have been very emotional while watching this coverage, including my family members. When I asked my parents why so much emotion, they said, "We understand what the Ukrainians are going through right now, because in the 1980s, we went through something similar with the Indian state." Do you think there could be, because there's a large Sikh population in the Fraser Valley, there could be, when we bring new refugees from the Ukraine now to settle in the Fraser Valley, do you think there could be better understanding from the Sikh community, from other cultures as well?
Well, yes, if you have in different geographical and historic contexts the experience, as you say, in India and the Punjab, and also the formation of India itself and Pakistan and many of the Sikhs there, if your experience is one in which the state oppresses your people or limits or hinders your freedom, then there is this model in place that state is problem, your freedom is elevated, and the experience of oppression, certainly under the Indira Gandhi tradition in the Punjab and Amritsar and Khalistan, these are all stories of state oppressive liberty for our people. Well, this is, in one sense, the same shared story that Ukrainians are facing with Russia at the present time. And so it's the same story in many ways, just the drama is played out in different historic geographical contexts. So it would give a real empathy, I would think, of many Sikhs for the Ukrainians, because their tale is the same. And so one would hope, and I'm sure you could reflect on this much more meaningfully than I could, as how your own Sikh community is reacting to this, of which you've initially mentioned.
Absolutely. Like I've I grew up watching the news. Like I told you before, that's when I first got interested in political science. And my family has been a very interesting focus group each time there's a conflict around the world. But this time it was a little too personal for my parents and other people that I know. And this time it brought back memories of the 1980s for them. And it was, and they're geographically near, India's near Russia as well. So it's very fresh, even though it happened 35, 38 years ago. It brought back memories for them. And I was like, I understand the complex nature of this problem, but I was shocked at how the Sikhs in near me were reacting to this conflict and tying it back to their experiences back in New Delhi.
You might be interested to know I came to the Fraser Valley. I helped start the first Amnesty International group in 1988 in Abbotsford. And This was, as you are rightly aware, it's from the most intense period of the Indian government. Punjab clashes. Does the Sikh community Punjab stay within India, or the movement toward an independent state in the north, Khalistan? And so the first few meetings that we had with Amnesty International in the late 80s, they were packed out with Sikhs, and many of the Amnesty International reports dealt with India at the time. Perhaps one difference, though, between the Indian situation and the Punjab is India has never seen itself in quite the same way as Russia has as a great empire. I mean, there have been tendencies within India in that direction, but it's never dominated, certainly in the way the 20th century Russian empire has dominated, not only within Russia, but Eastern Europe and client states throughout the world as well. So it's a little different, and yet it has a lot of affinities. But certainly the Sikh Indian state, Russia Ukrainian state, that definitely is a point of affinity and overlap.
We'll be right back after these messages on CIVL.